Good morning, Oregon. Thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details of the column and the podcast you will find at our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com. Do check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of Prineville, the Oregon town that refused to die. Most Oregon towns, when bypassed by the railroad, just withered into tiny hamlets. This one was the exception. It built its own railroad instead. This story was first published on May 3rd, 2009. Here we go. Early Oregon history is full of stories of towns that were big stuff until the railroad came through somewhere else. Today, most of these towns are tiny bedroom communities where residents drive to work in the lucky towns, now cities, that won that fight over railroad routes. Many of them are ghost towns or exist only in the Oregon Geographic Names reference. But there's one such town that just refused to give up, and that is Prineville. Today, Prineville is nowhere near as big and successful as its one-time rival, Bend. But it's a live, hopping Oregon town. You could say that's because Les Schwab started his business there and kept it there until his death. The executives in the charge of the company have since moved it to Bend, though. But that's more of a symptom than the cause. And the cause? Well, it may have something to do with why you used to see so many big trucks with Les Schwab's logo on them. The secret of Prineville's success goes back to a few years after its citizens got the disappointing news that they'd been outmaneuvered in their courtship of the railroad. Well, actually, nature had outmaneuvered them. The railroad lines just didn't want to mess with the Crooked River. They just shot across the high desert through nearby Bend and missed Prineville by 18 miles. By 1911, it was a done deal. This was Prineville's cue to lay down and die. It did nothing of the kind. Instead, the city's 1,200 residents set out to take care of the problem themselves. First, they incorporated the Prineville and Eastern Railway. A deal with the land promoter didn't work out, so the city put a bond issue on the ballot. 358 people voted yes. One single person voted no. Wouldn't it be great to know who that one single person was? And what the story behind that no vote was? I just would love to know that. But of course we never will. In any case, the city got right to work. But meanwhile, the First World War had raised the price of raw materials, so they had to go back to the voters in 1916 for more money. The no camp saw a 1,400% increase in its support, rocketing up to 14 votes. But the yes votes totaled 202, so Prineville got the materials it needed. Finally, on July 25th, 1918, the Crook County Journal ran a banner headline in type an inch and a half tall, "Railroad is here!" And so it was. But it carried an ominous load. The first train brought an entire car full of automobiles with it, something Randall Mills, writing in the middle of the golden age of car travel, compared to, quote, a prisoner building his own gallows. Sure enough, within just a few years of the railroad's construction, motor vehicles had started taking over. Prineville was left with a brand new railroad that few were using and $500,000 in bonded indebtedness. A lot of debt for a town whose population was still under 2,000. So the city council passed an ordinance. All Prineville businesses had to have licenses and report the means by which freight left town. If it were shipped by any means other than the city railroad or the business's own truck fleet, it was taxed at 10 cents a pound. And keep in mind that this is in like 1920. Candy bars were a nickel. 10 cents a pound was probably pretty close to the going price for beef. Naturally, this was not popular with trucking outfits, who had gotten used to the business and hated to see it go. But their outrage fell on deaf ears, and the plan worked. In 1940, the city proudly proclaimed the railroad debt-free at last. To this day, the railroad, now known as Prineville City Railway, is still in operation. Gulick says that as of 1991, some time ago, the railroad ordinance was still on the books. And the community spirit the railroad forged in Prineville is still quite noticeable there. Well, that's it for today's episode. If you'd like some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com, which is a page with the complete catalog of about 200 columns going back to 2008. It's also got links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes so that you can set your smartphone or your iPod up to download episodes directly, and links to Facebook page and Twitter feed as well. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which for today's episode include works by Bill Gulick and Randall V. Mills, in addition to archive issues of the Crook County Journal. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. In fact, drop me a line anyway if you just want to talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. By the way, if you've tried to drop me a line before and I haven't responded, I'm not blowing you off. Chances are pretty good that your note just got buried under a bunch of stuff because it's that time of term. So try again and let's talk. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. For details of that, please see offbeatoregon.com/cc.
Well, folks, that's our show for today.
And coming up tomorrow morning, we're going to be talking about Camp Adair, which was, for a short period of time, the second largest city in the state of Oregon. This is a claim that you will occasionally hear made about Vanport, Oregon. We don't actually know which of the two towns was bigger, but we do know that Vanport was built a year later. So at least for that much time, Camp Adair was the bigger town. It's an interesting story because it only lasted about 5 years. Well, Vanport did too, but that's another interesting story. Look for the Camp Adair one after about 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. And in the meantime, go out and fill out the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.